So the New Testament begins with four accounts of the person and life and history of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are called the Gospels. And those Gospels tell us some amazing truths about this resurrection. And today, we're going to look at Matthew's account. And I'm going to show you just a couple things in Matthew's account that are unusual. They are just unusual events, very little spoken of. And so today I hope and pray that you will really grab a hold of these events and see how they will impact your life. So beginning in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50, this is what Matthew says about Jesus. Now he's recording the words of Jesus on the cross. So as Jesus is dying on the cross, it says this, "Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit." That is, he died. This is Jesus' death on the cross for you. At that moment, this is what happens. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, I don't know if you realize the significance of that. That's pretty darn amazing what happens here. This event was so significant because it is a symbol of the fact that now there is no separation between me and God. That I have no longer, I don't need a priest to come to God. I don't need a pastor to come to God. I don't need a church to come to God. I don't need anything. That veil represented a separation. And only the high priest was allowed behind that veil. And that was only once a year. All the rest of the priests had to stay out. But once a year, the high priest would go in and he would offer the blood of an animal as a sacrifice unto this holy God. And when Jesus died on the cross and that veil was rent in two, it symbolized that that death was so sufficient and so powerful that it offers you and invites you so you now can come directly into the presence of God. Now, I don't know if that you can wrap your mind around that, but that is so significant for what, I mean, it's a celebration. It's just this amazing thing. And I hope that you will just today, somewhere along the way, celebrate the fact that you can have this amazing relationship with God apart from all religiosity, apart from all the hoops that you have to jump through. You can just simply come to God and believe on him and invest in him and let him invest in you. So that's the first unusual event that takes place in the Gospel of Matthew. But there's something even more unique than that that I want to spend a little bit of time on. And it's found also in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is only Matthew records this. This is the only gospel that records, this is the only biography that records this particular event. So this is found again in chapter 27. Listen to these words. Then this is when Jesus' death takes place. He's given up his spirit. He's died. And this is what it says. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Now watch this. This is very, very seldom do I ever hear this taught, but this is exactly what Matthew records for us. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. Now, just think about that. Could you imagine the surprise? We just buried Martha last week. We were at the cemetery. You know, we said we cried, we wept, and all of a sudden, Martha is knocking on the door. And I just want you to understand the power of that. And then 3 days later, Jesus himself rises from the dead just as he said he would. Now, I want you to understand that this power of resurrection is so amazing. It is the centerpiece of all of Christianity. It's the foundation of which, the reason for which I believe. You all understand that the reason I believe is because of that very thing. Here's why. Did you know that for 400 years, they didn't even have a completed New Testament that people could actually look at and read? This is before the printing press. When Jesus died on the cross, most of the Roman population were illiterate. They just couldn't read. And so how Christianity passed from one person to the next person was by word of mouth, and here was what happened. They just talked about the resurrection. It became the undeniable force that Rome could not deal with, could not suppress. And as a result, what took place after this resurrection and after Jesus' resurrection, Christianity began to spread like wildfire. It could not be contained. It went from house to house and city to city, village to village and nation to nation. And all of a sudden, the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached throughout the entire world because of one factor. It is the centerpiece. And if anyone can deny the resurrection, they have destroyed Christianity. If you can actually prove that Jesus did not raise from the dead, then Christianity has no merit. Because it's built completely around that truth of the resurrection. So I argue today and I contend with you today that if it is true that Jesus rose from the dead, then it demands something from me. It requires for me to have a response to that. And so it is a beautiful thing. And this resurrection, I can only imagine that day when these people, you know, it doesn't say how many, it says many. And I'm supposing that's probably more than a dozen. When I think of many, it might have been hundreds, I don't know. But it's a significant number of people that rose from the dead when Jesus died, went into the cities, had celebration parties, reunited with their family, and then sadly had to die again. That was the bad news for them. Could you imagine being one of those and all of a sudden Jesus says, oh, by the way, you get to go back. I wouldn't want to have been among that number because once you get to heaven, you just simply don't want to come back. I heard a story this past week of about a man in the far eastern part of Russia. And, you know, I know Russia as well because I travel there a lot and they love to drink a bit. And so this one guy got so drunk, he passed out at a party, all of his friends thought he died. So they called in the paramedics and, you know, the ambulances and took him away to the hospital. Apparently it was a busy night that night because they prematurely pronounced him dead and they sent him to the morgue. But he has only passed out. And about a half hour into the morgue, he's, you know, put into the freezer. You know, that's where they put bodies. And all of a sudden, he wakes out of a slumber. I don't know how drunk he was, but if he was drunk enough to pass out, you know, he was probably a little groggy when he woke up and he realized that there's all these bodies around him. I'm just saying, he's telling the story as I understood it. And, you know, he starts pounding on the door and, you know, the people heard him pounding on the door and they're not going to let him out. I mean, would you let him out? I'm not sure that I'd let him out. Would you? And so... they call the police. The police come. They open the door, and they let him out, and you know, make sure he's okay. So he goes back to the party. And could you imagine? as the story goes, is that he goes to the party, knocks on the door, and as the person opens the door, looks at him and faints, because it's not normal for people to rise from the dead. And so when it happens, when it happens legitimately, you and I should take notice of that, because that is an undeniable miracle. And by the way, that is the one thing that Rome could not dispute. They could take Christian doctrine and they could dispute that. They could do everything else, but they could not deny that Jesus rose from the dead, even though they tried. And so this is pretty big stuff, and it was pretty life-changing stuff as you begin to think about what Jesus Christ did. Now back to Matthew's account. Let's go back there. In part, Jesus was put to death to stop him, right? You understand that they couldn't stop his message. His message was compelling and powerful. So they said, the only thing we can do then is to nail him on the cross, crucify him, so we can deter all of his followers to stop right now and stop believing. And so when Christ raised from the dead, it was a game changer. It was absolutely a game changer, and it set Christianity on fire that's lasted for several thousand years. And that's why we're here today. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, amen. Here's the most important thing that I want to say to you today. I invited you all here today. I want to say one thing to you, and this is something that I want you to take to heart. This is my message to you. Take it personally if you'd like. I'd love you to take it personally. But here's what I want to say. God never meant Easter to be a day to be remembered, but a day to be experienced. Now think about that. God never meant, for most of us here today, for many of us, we have a celebration, we have dinners to go to, we have all sorts of things that we can do afterwards, and we remember Easter, but God never intended Easter to be remembered. He intended Easter to be experienced. So my question to you today is, have you experienced the power of the resurrection? Paul, one of Jesus' close associates, wrote this. This is Paul, who had this experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He writes this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and to experience, there's that word, and to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Believing Christ died is history. Listen to me carefully. Believing Christ died is history. Believing he died for you is salvation.
Hallelujah.
It is salvation.
Yeah.
And so it's more than just what you believe in your head. It's experiencing the power of the resurrection. So with that in mind, let me just briefly ask this question. What then, if that's all true, everything I've said is true, the power of the resurrection is true, what keeps us from experiencing the power of the resurrection in our own life? And let me just take a time out and say that the power of the resurrection doesn't mean that I live a perfect life. It means that I have the power to live in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of the shame, in spite of all things that I experience, in spite of illness, in spite of all those things. It means that I can live in sorrow and joy. Experiencing the power of the resurrection doesn't mean that I become perfect. It means that I have the power to endure anything that God brings my way or life brings my way. So back to the story. So why then? Why wouldn't anyone want to jump out of their seat right now, run down into the front here and say, I want some of that? Why? What would keep us from doing that? And I'm going to suggest there's a couple things that might deter us from believing on Jesus Christ and see if you can relate to some of these. First of all, I think one reason would be that we have these misconceptions about God. That somehow, some way, in your life experience, you either because you've had a bad experience with God or somewhere along the way, you have these false beliefs about God. Like, for example, he must not care. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and it doesn't seem like he answers my prayer. You know, I prayed for my Aunt Martha and she died anyway. And so a lot of times people associate that with God and then God gets a bad reputation. So I'm just going to simply say false beliefs about God keep us from really understanding who God is and surrendering our lives to him. Actor and comedian Kevin Hart, when he first started out in his career, was really poor. And so he went to his mom and told her about this experience that he was going to have, that he wanted to become an actor and a comedian. And so she believed in him and said, listen, I think you're talented. I'll tell you what, I will help you financially. I'll pay some of your rent. Well, for the first year, I'll pay 6 months of your rent so that you can go and just, you know, do your thing. And so they agreed to that. And so he was out doing his thing and ran out of money. And so he went back to his mom and said, hey, Mom, you remember that you said that you would help me? And she said, yes. And then she said something peculiar. She said, have you been reading your Bible? And, you know, he was embarrassed and said no. And this went on for a couple weeks. Every time he came and reminded his mom that she was going to help him, she would simply say to him, have you read your Bible today? And so that got him irritated, a little angry. So he went home, got out his Bible, and out of his Bible fell 6 checks for 6 months of rent. So maybe you're looking for God in all the wrong places. That's my point. Maybe there's a different place for you to look for God in. So what else would keep us from really experiencing the power of Christ? Well, I think sometimes it's because we create a box. We filter God and we say, okay, God, I want to control you. And I want to live my life the way I want to live it. And so, Lord, I'll put you over here and I'll put you in this box. And I just want you to understand something. You can never contain God. You got to take him for the way he is. He is uncontainable. He is amazing. He is awesome. He's going to do great things in your life. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to change you. He's going to change your life. When you invite him into your life, there's going to be drastic changes in how you think and how you feel and how you act. It's going to be a life-change experience for you. You cannot contain God in a box. And oftentimes, the reason they don't come to him is because they're somehow, some way, trying to contain God in this box. Another reason I think that people don't want to have Christ in their life is somehow, some way, they feel like they've been hurt by God. That somehow God is responsible for something, some tragedy, some event that takes place in their life. And so as a result, they build this barrier up. And I just want to ask you one simple question. How's that working for you? It just doesn't work, does it? I mean, you're still bitter. You're still angry. You're still locked in your box. And so I'm going to say, unleash God in your life. Let him have a chance. Let him show you what he can do for you. Let him demonstrate his power, the power of the resurrection that you and I have been speaking about. So the question is that I want to kind of end our thinking together with about this. I'd like to ask this question. Do you really want to miss something as big as the resurrection in your life? Do you really want to miss something like that? I mean, this is life-changing, folks. This is amazing. When you came in here today, when you walked in the door, sat down in your seat, there was some fabric that you picked up. Some of you are holding it in your hands right now. So let me talk about this fabric for just a minute. And I want to remind you where we started today was we started with the idea that when Christ died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. And that symbolized a barrier between Israel and God. And this piece of cloth that you have today in your hand symbolizes perhaps a barrier that you might be making up. God has opened the door. He has torn the curtain. He's invited you into his presence. But maybe in your life, everybody has different reasons. Maybe it's shame or a particular sin or guilt. Or you could just go on and on and on. I could go on and on and on and name specific things. I don't know what it is. But we're going to sing another song right now. And here's what we're going to do. During this song, when you're ready, after you have identified the thing that holds you back from God, of experiencing, I don't care if you've done this 100 times or one time, it doesn't matter, but there's probably something in your life that's holding you back from experiencing the full power of the resurrection. Would you agree with that? So here's what I want you to do. During this song, when you're ready, I want you to rip this thing. And I want you to, whatever that is, I want you to put that aside. Whether it's shame or guilt or feeling bad about yourself, it doesn't matter what it is. You rip this thing in two and you say, I'm going to, from this day forward, come into the presence of the living God. I'm going to experience the power, full power, of his resurrection. And I want you to understand this. Listen to me carefully. Walked with Jesus a number of years now, and I've never been disappointed in the power of his resurrection. Never been disappointed in the power of his resurrection. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about people. I'm just simply talking about you and God. And you can come right into his presence right now because Christ has ripped apart that curtain, and you can have full-on access to the Creator God of the universe. You can have that. It's yours. God invites you to have full-on access to his presence. Unlike any other religion, unlike any other religion, in every other religion, there's some other hoop you have to jump through. But in Christianity, Jesus jumped the hoops, tore the curtain, and today, because of his resurrection, I can have a resurrected life right now. I don't have to wait till I die. I can have a resurrected life right now. So as we sing this song, I just want you to think about what it is in your life, and then when you're ready, I want you to rip into this piece of cloth in your hand, symbolizing you're not going to let it control you anymore.
Because I loved you before, you knew what was next.
So some of you today, as we've been speaking, the whole time I've been speaking, you've been thinking I've been speaking right to you, that there's nobody else in this room, and I'm just going to say, that's the Holy Spirit calling you. And so today, I don't care where you're at, I don't care what circumstance in your life, if you want Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection in your life, you can have it today. You just have to respond. You can have that, you can have all of it today. Power of the resurrection, the power over sin, the knowledge of eternal life, the hope of eternity. You can have all of that and more. I'm just telling you, and more. And so here's what I want you to do. If you're ready to trust Jesus and follow him for the first time, this isn't people that have done this over and over again. I'm talking about for the very first time. If you want to respond to Jesus Christ and receive from him all that's behind that curtain, eternal life, the presence of Christ, power of the resurrection. Here's what I'd like you to do right now where you're sitting. I'd like everyone else just kind of bow their heads right now. Just bow your heads. And if you want that, whether you're in the balconies or the bleachers or in the seats down here on the floor, if wherever you're at, if you want the power of the resurrection in your life and you want Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand really quickly. Just raise your hand. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. This is the power of God. Don't worry about what anybody else is going to think about you. Don't worry about whatever results are. Just, do you want the power of the resurrection? Now I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. So you all can look up at me for just a second here. I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand right now, I'd like you, as an act of courage, I just want you to stand to your feet. If you just raise your hand, don't be bashful. In the services previous to that, there were tons of people that stood up. Yeah. If you want the power of the resurrection in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Whether you're in the balconies or the bleachers or in the seats down here on the floor, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. This is going to be a courageous act. I would like personally to pray with you right down here in front. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and what I want you to do is slip out of your seat right now, and everybody here is going to rejoice in that. And so just come right down here in front. We'll wait for you up there. Come on down. Come on down. It's all right. Come on down. Kind of spread out. Spread out here. Come on down. It's the power of the resurrection. The hope of eternal life. And if you can kind of squeeze in here just a little bit, let's come on down so we can get everybody in. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. I don't think there's going to be anybody left in those bleachers up there. Come on down. So here's what we're going to do. Come on down. We'll wait just a minute more. Come on down. It's okay. It's great. This is awesome. This is awesome. I did this 40 years ago. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray together. In your heart, you're going to pray with me. I'm going to lead you in the words to say to God. And here's the most important thing is that if you mean business with God, He'll mean business with you. I'm telling you, listen to me carefully. If you're asking, God is going to give. He is a giver. God is a giver. And I'm just going to tell you right now, you can have the power of the resurrection in your life today. You can have eternal life. But you have to believe in your heart and you have to confess. So today, that's what we're going to do. So I'll pray out loud. You pray in your heart. And so let's bow together and let's pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus, today I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came into this world and died for my sins, and that I put my confidence in His resurrection today. Lord, I'm asking for the power of the resurrection. I'm asking for new life. I'm asking for You to grant to me the promises of Your word, the promises of Your power and Your grace and Your mercy. I'm asking You to save me for all eternity. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy and powerful and awesome name. Amen. 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 Amen.